How many of you, this is your first service of the week? Okay, we've got a few. Okay. See, as a teacher, okay, now look. How many of you learned your ABCs by doing them one time? How many of you learned your multiplication tables by doing them one time? So a teacher, one of the things that teachers do, in the Hebrew language, there's a picture associated with every Hebrew word. In Proverbs, I forget now which one it is, but one of the words used for wisdom, the picture that goes with that word is a nail. And I thought, why in the word? You know, why would a nail? Well, a nail is that which is pounded in. So I struggled a little bit with this, but I think we're going to do a quick review. We've got to get our mind going that way again. And for those, if we don't do that, those that this is their first service, and there may be others by the internet, this is the first time. So we're going to do it. I'm going to try and do it a little faster, and then we're going to go a little farther. Is that okay? All right. Open up to Isaiah 55. Yes, sir. I can feel, I'm trying to sense what it is that I'm, there's an atmosphere here today that's a little different. Yes, sir, okay, I hear the word. See, here's the problem with coming to, isn't it wonderful to come to conference?
Yes.
I'm setting you up. It is, isn't it? It's great, and we get to fellowship, and last night we were, I mean, if I continue this, I won't keep my slender figure here, but you know, we were pounding the table and talking about God and eating cheeseburgers at almost midnight last night, you know. And it's great, the fellowship and the teaching and the laughing and the healing. Isn't it been wonderful? But see, the other part, and what the word that I'm hearing, and the heaviness I'm hearing in a way, the other word that comes with that, though, is accountability. Is accountability. You can't unknow once you know. You can't act like I wasn't there, I didn't hear, and I'm not required to change. How many want to leave right now? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. I send it about that. I just work here, right? It's okay. We are going to do that, but he's changing the order just a little. Now let me get this right. Okay. I'm going to read for you a few of the prophecies that have come fairly recently at the prayer center, because again, the conference is wonderful. I'm glad for every person that gets saved, gets filled with the Holy Ghost, that gets healed, every miracle. But what we're really here for is something much bigger than that. We're here for revival.
Yes.
Like a laser beam, he's having us focus this year on what he originally called us. One of the things that I do love about the prayer center, our mission statement is so pure. You can say it in a single sentence. And that is, and when I say the prayer center, I don't just mean the physical building located in Tulsa. You are the prayer center. You, everyone that's associated themselves with this vision, all of the things that go with this, we are the prayer center worldwide, wherever you are. Amen? So these words are as much to you as they are to us sitting in Tulsa. That mission statement is this. And for us, it's worded because we live in Tulsa, but it's to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival. Now, we say to a religious city, but worldwide, we would say to a religious world. A supernatural revival. Not something man organizes, not something man can do, but a supernatural revival. And everything about this, and it doesn't matter if you're in Kenya, doesn't matter. It's the same God who wants the same results. Amen? Amen? So that's what it's all about. And that's, so there's an accountability factor that comes with this. He's going to require change of us. And that's okay. Right. Now, this word actually came a little previously, but Tim thought it was appropriate for this year. This one came in 2006. Yes, sir. Boy, this is going to fit today. It says, once again, the time has come for those who will esteem my word more than they do their necessary food. They will no longer take my words lightly, as entertainment almost, and something of small value. For I have not had you here all of this time to separate myself from you now. With my own arm I gather you unto myself, and I am rekindling an appetite in you, an appetite not only for my written word, but for the words that I speak to you, that they become your very life, more precious than gold, more needful than your necessary food. Eat my word until it becomes a part of you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, where it brings life to you like the marrow does to the blood. God. With the measure that you give my word, that is exactly the same measure that you will see the results of my word, says the Lord. Isn't that something? Now, right at the beginning of this year, the Lord said this. This year is the year where we sell out to Him. Now, this one actually came through my lips. I heard it as they heard it. And again, I'm going to confess my faults one to another that we may all be healed. I think it's more important that we be family and transparent. Be honest with you, when this came through my mouth, I honestly thought, well, there must be people here that still need to sell out. Because I thought it to myself, I'm pretty sold out. And I am pretty sold out. I was, when this came, pretty sold out. Well, the week that followed this, He showed me three idols in my own life. None of them were what you would call wicked or evil things, but they were things that had just gotten to the place they were taking up too much of my time, too much of my affection. They were diluting my pursuit of revival. And they had to go. They just had to go. So let me finish reading this. This is the year where we sell out to Him. There is going to be great division in the church, and I am talking about the prayer center. With good intentions, but great warfare, some will stay and some will go. And I am telling you that's okay. It's the year of selling out to Him. Say it again. It's the year of selling out to Him. And whatever His will is, I don't live unto myself anymore. Amen. Now that same day, another person that I highly esteem at the prayer center, this word, he heard that word, and this word came through him, but it wasn't just for him, it was for the prayer center too. And all what I mean is all of us. He heard that, some will come, some will go, that's okay. So how about this? My plans, God says, have not and will not change regarding this mission, no matter who stays or who goes. No matter what you think is right or wrong here, it does not change my plan for you or the body of the prayer center. Obedience is all I need. I like how the Lord words this. We will have our revival. Isn't that good? And every day we are closer than before. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Okay, I started to quit, and we're going to read one more. Is this okay?
Yes.
All right. I don't. Some of you may have heard these already. They've been read at recent services, but now this one came through somebody else. It wasn't me. The purpose will come to pass for what the prayer center has been directed to do. There has been an assignment given to not just this group, but the assignment that has been given to the prayer center family. It is the ones around anywhere who have attached themselves to the standards of prayer and fasting, but not just the standards of prayer and fasting, but also of not pursuing your own ministry, your own dreams, but also standards of laying your life down and of not building something of men and that type of thing. If you have been attached to us, either by your heart or by God's will, attached to this assignment, now listen, no matter what you see, God says, it is moving forward. It has made leaps and bounds over the last few years. Unseen leaps and bounds the last few years. I need to say that again. The assignment that God has given has progressed in leaps and bounds over the last few years, and it is going to be completed. So don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened. Don't listen to failure or defeat, because it is not true. Keep moving forward, because in you is something precious that is being built that you carry with you everywhere you go. He is seeking for a revival of love, of integrity, of sincerity, of holiness, a revival of God's power, a revival of God's heart. And it may seem like the length of time to get there may look like it is because it's not working, but it is. And if you will just look inward, you will find out that it is so. What's amazing to me, since I live there, is in the natural, if you came and visited us, I don't know if you've ever come before. How many of you know our building is not by design, but it is a theater style? You know, the floors are sloped, you know, because the building's falling back into the ground. And if you came, I'm telling you now, it's more slopety. Is that a word? Makes sense, slopety? It's more slopety now than the last time you came. It's the same carpet that was there and wore out 22 years ago when I came. The cars in the parking lot have more mileage on them than the last time you came. Probably less people than the last time you came. In other words, everything that you would see in the natural would say, this is not working. Yet every time God speaks, He says, you have made great leaps and bounds. Now, my job is not to ignore these things when they come. We've discussed this privately, but now He wants to say it openly. Don't be moved by the size of congregations. Think about Jesus. Remember the day He fed 5,000 men? 5,000, that's just the men. If there were women and children present, you would think that group at least was 10,000, maybe 15,000. What about the time He fed 7,000? That's a different meeting. 7,000 men. Well, if there were any women present, if there were any children present, we're talking 14,000 to 21,000 people. Everyone say 21,000. That's a lot of people. That's just two meetings. Then if you take all the other meetings where it says He healed great multitudes, don't be thinking hundreds, be thinking thousands. Okay? Then it says, John says, if all the things that Jesus did were written, there's not enough books in the world to contain it all. So think of the tens of thousands of lives that were touched and affected by His ministry. Yet when He rose from the dead, He appeared to how many people? Do you remember? 500? 500, though. So let's just go with that. 500 people spoke face to face with the risen Savior. But out of those 500, how many were in the upper room? 120. From the thousands and tens of thousands, the church began. It was whittled down, pared down, not by force, by choice. God began His church with 120 people. But with that 120 people, He changed the world. Don't be moved by the size. Don't be moved by things man builds. God is building something. God is building something. Amen. Glory to God. Now I'm going to read something out of a good book. I know the author personally. Personal friend of mine. But he didn't write these words. This is chapter 4 of Dave's book. If I don't keep hitting that little thumb button. This is the Kindle version of Dave's book. I don't know if you know that, but The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power is now available in Kindle version. So you can put it on your iPhone, your iPad. The people that do Kindle will not do anything for free, you know. So the minimum charge that they will allow is 99 cents. If you don't have 99 cents, see me after the service. I'll give you a buck, okay? We want you to have it. We're not after anybody's, you know, this is something that has to be done for Kindle. But for me, it's very handy. I like having it with me all the time. I have it on my phone. I have it now on my iPad. I have it on my computer. So it's good. But in light of the teachings that we've been having this week, this particular prophecy, because we're talking about, and these are not new. Jim was telling me he's got an old teaching. Now help me with the title. We're living a Genesis 1 life. If you're born again, you're living a Genesis 1 life in a Genesis 3 world. You have a life, the original life that God imparted really to Adam. You've got that now imparted to you by the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a creature from another world. You were born on an alien planet. That's true. It's absolutely true. You were born a child of God living in an alien planet that's really not home. And that the teachers here keep wanting you to think that you're just a member of this world. But the truth is, you have Genesis 1 life on the inside. I love that title. You have a Genesis 1 life, but you're living in a Genesis 3, a fallen world. Now what God's after us to do, and you, trying not to go into tongues. Oh, I'm Kati. Mysteries hidden. Mysteries from the foundation of the world. Brought forward this day by my spirit in this hour, in this generation. To purge the mind of my children from the falseness of the doctrine they've been taught from pulpits with good intentions by men that loved me, but deceived by religion, deceived by education, deceived by the ways of this world, and not taught by my spirit. Come up higher, my children. Come up higher. Let my spirit teach you the things of the realm that you're really from. God. Do you read that? Wait, listen. I got to put the code in again now. I waited too long. Here it is. Listen to this. That's the prophecy that's on the first, chapter 4. At the beginning of each chapter, there's a prophecy. Listen to this. It says, this is God. This is a prophecy. It says, when I call you and separate you through ordination to an operation that I place you in, my power will qualify you to fulfill that office from within. For I have made all things possible to him who believeth. Therefore, approach not my presence in your own understanding, or in the ideals, creeds, and doctrines as men would put them forth. For I place within you an anointing that cannot lie. That anointing is truth and will teach you all things. Yield yourself to my spirit for the purposes of edification, and I will lift you up. I will build into you every operation that I have separated you unto, and I will qualify you by my power.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Excuse me, I got to go read the rest of this chapter now. Is that good stuff or what?
Amen.
We are genuinely Genesis 1 people living in a Genesis 3 world. We are aliens from another realm. I used to say planet. It's not really that, I don't think. It's another realm. It's a higher place. Did you ever find... Did I say turn to Isaiah 55? Thank God, I did good. Okay. This is where kind of our jumping off point. Let me read this verse. Now, you got to remember when God said this, now, he wasn't really speaking to born-again people. This is Old Testament. He's talking to spiritually dead people. Okay? But he's trying to get them to understand. And it's really a word to us if we have limited what's possible in our minds to what the natural world says, then that word would be to us too. But look what he says in Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, you might leave your marker there. I think today we'll come back to that. Now, I thought I understood that very well, and I did have a fairly good understanding of it for a long time. But here recently, someone gave me an old book from the 20s, and it was called The Fourth Dimension in the Bible. It's really a mathematician who is a believer, and he understands some things about math. And that was giving him an understanding of certain occurrences that happened in the Bible. It's not seeming so fantastic anymore. Now, because we have people that haven't been here all week, you ready? I'm a teacher, right? I'm not a pastor. We're going to do our ABCs again, okay? I'm going to do it as quick as I can, but let's go through this. The best way to understand this is mathematically. See, we live in a three-dimensional world. We live in a world where there's length, there's width, there's height, which you could also say is depth. We have vertical, wideness, and length. Three-dimensional world. That's the universe we live in. Let's pretend for a minute, though, that we lived in a one-dimensional world. Once in one-dimensional world would have only length. If you can see this blue line here, it'd be like, this is the universe I live in. There's only length. And, you know, the only way you can function in that world, you can go forward on that line. You can go back on that line. You know, you can be highly educated in that world. You can go to Lineland University. You can go to Lineland Seminary, too, by the way. You'll learn what's possible with man. You'll learn what's possible with God. And that's all fine and good. You can just function really fine in your universe until there's an obstacle in the way. Because in line land, there is no such thing as width. There is no such thing as height. You see, you got to try and picture me as a dot on the floor. I don't know how to illustrate it any better, but perfect math, I would be a dot. I would have no height. I just have a dot that travels up and down the line. But now if I come to something and there's an obstacle in the way, suddenly I've come to something that's impossible. And so my conclusion will be, well, you're just going to have to live with that the rest of your life because there is no way around it. There is no way over it. There's no way under it. I'm very educated in the ways of man. And by the way, I've been to seminary and I know even with God, you know, this is it. You're just going to have to live with that. But see, if we had a man who lives in flatland, flatland is like a plane, like a piece of paper. Flatland not only has length, flatland also has width. And so now, he's invisible to me because he's in a different realm than where I live. I only live in lineland. But let's say he's an observer and he's kind of a compassionate guy and he sees me keep bumping up against this thing and I've given up because it's just not possible. There is no way to deal with this impossible problem here. And he watches me struggle and struggle. Then one day he just decides to have mercy on me. And he comes over to where I am. And he just takes me around. Now, as soon as I leave Lineland, all the other people in Lineland, to them, I disappear. To them it's like, oh, he's gone. But to this guy, all he does is just move me around. And he puts me back over on this side. And when I come back to everybody, I reappeared. And they're going, oh, it's a miracle. And he's going, this is not hard, you know, from where he is. This is like nothing. See? All right? That help you a little bit? His ways in flatland are higher than the ways of lineland. I never know where that goes anyway, right there. Okay? So now, let's deal with lineland guy. Now, see, he has a lot more freedom in his
I keep saying it wrong, flatland guy. And he has a lot more freedom. Look, he can not only walk the line, he can go width, and he can twirl, he can do all kinds of things, you know. And he's educated. He's been to Flatland University. He knows all the things that are possible in Flatland. And he's also been to seminary. He knows what's possible with God. And of course, some things have passed away, I'm sure, and other things. But anyway, he's all familiar, and everything is really good with him. And he has lots of mobility, except suddenly in Flatland, he comes to a circle. Now remember, he's a dot. There is no height. There is no height. He's a dot moving around like on a plane. So when he comes to something like this, he says, I need to get to the center. Maybe there's a door. Maybe there's a window. He goes all the way around. He's looking. Oh no, I've got to get to the center of this thing. It's absolutely impossible. Let me check my theologians again. Not even with God. There's just no way. In the whole universe of Flatland, this is impossible. But there's another observer, someone who lives in our world, three-dimensional world, who knows that there's not only length and width, there's also height. Come around when he said, there's also height. So this benevolent person who's watching from a higher realm, he finally decides to have mercy on this guy because he just keeps bumping up against it. There's just no way. There's no way. And this guy goes, let me help you out just a little bit here. Boom. Because he understands height. You got to remember when he left. Now, when he left Flatland, all the rest of us Flatlanders went, because he disappeared from sight. And then all of a sudden he was found over here. Does that remind you of a scripture? And Philip was found at Azotos. Enoch was not, for God took him. We could go on. Start to see it here a little bit. Give our folks a hand here. But wait a minute. I'm not quite through with the Earthlander. He's an Earthlander now. This is where we live. He's an Earthlander. Okay, I need the chair again. Jim, you know the drill. Now, again, for you young ones that are aspiring to ministry, whenever you minister in another man's church, let me carry it for you, oh high and exalted one. Always make the pastor of that church God, okay? He's God. So now, Bronk is one of us. We're living. This is the Genesis 3 world. We're in the fallen Genesis 3 world. Three-dimensional world. Bronk's an educated man. He was a builder at one time. He knows all about construction and finances and all of that. No, now he's been serving God for a long time. And, thank God he's learned some things about God. But if he'd have just gone to seminary, his mind would have been trained, most likely, only with man's understanding of what God can do. So here we're walking around and we can go up and we can go down and we can move. We got a three-dimensional world, you know. But then we come to obstacles that to us are impossible. Now, I'm going to go ahead and use Tommy again. Cerebral palsy. It's Lynn Perez's son. Wonderful young man. You just love him. But with all the best of medical science has right now and all the best of Christianity, I have been there and prayed. Christy Smith has been there and prayed. Sue has prayed. Everyone that we know has done everything that they can. We have milked every cell in our being for faith. And with all that we know, it's kind of like that pot or that circle. Tommy is an insolvable problem for us right now. Right now. See? But see, he says, my ways are higher. Our Father God lives in a higher realm than where we live. The things that are, one of the verses I think I've got it written down here somewhere. Let's see if I've still got it. Yes. Luke, you don't have to turn there, but Luke 18:27 says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. You got that?
Yes.
So I'm reminded of the lunatic boy. His father brought him to the disciples. And the disciples did everything they knew to try and cure that boy, and they couldn't get him cured. Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter and a couple others. So when he comes down, he sees all the commotion. He says, what's going on? Well, Well, we've prayed, we've cast out, we've done everything that we know to do, and we can't, he's not healed. See, and if Jesus was like most of the way people present him, people meaning preachers, you would think Jesus would go, well, I know you tried hard. Give you a couple of attaboys. Is that what you read? Matthew 17?
No.
He was upset. Now, I mean, just don't tell me he wasn't. He says, how long? I love this guy so much, I can't even talk to him that way. He goes, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring that boy here to me. And I'm telling you right now, he would give Gary a kick in the rear regarding Tommy Perez. He wouldn't be any different with me. He says, how long am I going to... How you bring that boy here to me, and if we did, what would happen with Tommy? He'd be healed. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. That's what our Father's calling us to do now. And I mean, the time has come. It is upon us. And he's showing us how to do it. How to get there. He's given us his Spirit on purpose to train us how to do it. We've got to get past this limited mental, religious understanding of who our Father is. Amen? Now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. No, really, thank you. That's Dave's line. Where's Jesus? Seriously, I need Jesus. Doesn't he look like Jesus with the beard and everything? I mean, come on, you know? Does he look like a good Jesus? Now, Jesus, he was sent from the Father. Jesus said, the Father sent me. He is the prototype. He is the original Genesis 1 life in a Genesis 3 world. First thing he did for 30 years, and this is still reviewing from yesterday. For 30 years, the first thing that life did in him, he was free from sin. The first thing that happened to you is you got born again. Whether you realize it or not, you are free from sin. Gary is free from sin. And I don't care if I fall 6 times between now and lunch. Doesn't change the truth. I am free from sin. You're not going to take 1 John 1:9 away from this old boy. I'm telling you right now. If I sin, I don't run from the blood. I run to the blood. You hear me? I confess my sin. Just like any child. What does a parent want when a child messes up? Tell me the truth. Don't lie to me about it. Don't cover it up. Tell me the truth. Now, I'll correct you. I'll show you how not to do it that way next time. Don't do it again. Okay? And you get... You know, we used to maybe get a physical spanking. You get a spiritual spanking. I'm sorry. You know, try and lie and get away with it. You can't get away with it and be born again. Now, if you can get away with it, there's going to be an altar call later because you're not saved anyway. But that was last year's message. Get that tape. But you notice, though, if you read carefully the Gospels, Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized by John in the river. Remember? Jesus, for 30 years, walked sin-free. Now, we're going to walk through Nazareth. He's walking through Earthland, walking through his hometown of Nazareth. You reckon there was any blind people on the corner? You reckon there was lepers? Sick people of all kinds? And he is love with legs. He is compassion. He is God in the flesh. God is... Here is love itself. Walking past the blind man. You reckon anything in him wanted to heal him? Why didn't he? See, and religion doesn't like this answer. The reason he didn't heal the blind man is because he couldn't heal the blind man. Now, don't throw stones. Got to remember, he's not operating as God. He is God in the flesh, but he laid down all the rights and privileges of that. He is functioning as a man wearing fallen flesh, but with the life of God on the inside of him. All right? But it's not, that life is designed to cause you to walk. That is your moral compass. That is to allow you to walk as a light in a dark world. It may give you power and dominion over sin, but that life is not what heals the sick. Barry, are you here? I need Barry. Because I want somebody big. I need somebody to manifest the Holy Ghost here. Now let me ask you, is the Holy Ghost omnipresent?
Yes.
Was he on planet Earth?
Yes.
You reckon the Holy Ghost ever took a stroll through Nazareth before Jesus was baptized?
Yes.
Now here's the Holy Ghost himself. He is just as much God as God the Father, God the Son. I like to call him the molecule changer. I mean, really, he's the one that... You like this, right? This is the one. This is the one that was brooding in Genesis 1 over the face of the darkness. He was just waiting to hear those words. Light be. And light was. That kind of power? This guy? You talk about all things are possible. And he's walking by the blind man. And he's love. You reckon he wanted to do anything? He's got the power. The molecule changing power to do it. But he's not able to do anything either. See, because the way legally God set planet Earth up, originally, he set it up with the first man, Adam. And he said, what? Let him have
dominion.
Let him have dominion. Now, you know what happened? That Adam fell. He surrendered that dominion, if you'll allow me. He lost it when he obeyed the devil. All right? This Jesus, 30 years old, stay there, comes one day to be baptized by John. Let's get right in front of the camera. Comes to be baptized by John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't even know. He says, I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. He didn't know why Jesus wanted to be baptized, but Jesus said, go ahead and do it. We need to do this. See, it took a long time for the Holy Ghost to get it across to me. Now, you don't have to lay down. I'll pretend. When John lays Jesus down in the water, that is a visual vow. Jesus is saying, I know why you sent me. I am vowing this day to go to the grave. I am going to do what you called me to do. I am going to die in the place of Adam. And I'm telling you, Father, in my heart, look, I'm going to do this. But when John raised him up out of the water, that was his demonstration of faith. Father, you will not leave my soul in hell. Neither shall my flesh see corruption. I'm trusting you to raise me again on that third day. And the Father who looks on the heart, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He looked at the heart of his Son, and it's like a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven. Bam! It is done. He might as well have said, the first Adam is dead because of what his Son just vowed. The first Adam is dead. Long live the last Adam. Let him have dominion. And the Holy Ghost, that very moment, came upon him. It was coronation day of the last man, Adam. And once more, that dominion was restored. Now I've got to do it again like yesterday. The Holy Spirit, the first thing he did was lead him right to the devil. I'm sorry. And you know, the temptations that happened there, because this last Adam, he had to be tested too. He had to succeed where the first Adam failed. And he overcame all of the temptations. It is written, it is written, it is written. And once that was over, he came to his hometown of Nazareth, if I remember right. And his first message was what? Do you remember? The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to the blind, to the sick, to the lame. It is the year of Jubilee. I have been anointed. The last Adam has dominion again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told you it's good to review. I told you. But now we have the prototype. What do we see then? Just kind of wander around. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, the devil. For God was with him. God the Holy Ghost was with him. Now, he is the prototype. What we see there, what did Jesus say? Okay, y'all can come back here. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do. Because I go to my Father. God never intended for the ministry of Jesus to end when he ascended. He intended for the ministry of Jesus to be multiplied through all of us. Yes. We're supposed to be doing that exact same thing. Yes. Thank you. I think that's... Hallelujah. Is that good or what? Now, you still got Isaiah 55? Now, watch this. Remember, he said that to a spiritually dead people. My ways are higher. Thank you, God. Thank you. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. God lives in some realm. We might call it the fourth dimension. Mathematically, mathematicians have already proved there are at least 15 mathematical dimensions. And if that was not so, we wouldn't have jet engines. I can't get into all that today. I might read a little bit from this. But we know mathematically there's these fourth dimensions. God lives, I'm pretty sure, wherever that is, in the highest one. Whatever the highest, it might be a 10,000 billionth one. I don't know where God lives. But wherever He is, all things are possible. And the things we look at as impossibilities like cerebral palsy, God, to Him, it's as simple for Him to solve that as it was for the flatlander to help the linelander. You understand? We have made our God small. And He's everything but small. Then we made us small. Religion keeps making us small. And we're not small. We are the offspring of the living God. We are born from that realm, that planet, that wherever that is. We're from there. When He says this, my ways are, my thoughts are not your thoughts, that's not true in your case. That's not true in you. His thoughts can be your thoughts. His ways, He intends for His ways to be our ways. Now the first level of that is His word. Even back there He was telling them. Let's go ahead and read the rest of it now. Verse 8, we'll just read it all. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. Boy, he gets down. This, he's trying to get it like Jane see the ball. Trying to get it down to kindergarten here. He said, like, have you ever seen rain? He's trying to get us to understand. How many of you, have we seen rain this week? He's going, have you seen rain? I'm trying to get you to understand this. As the rain comes down, have you seen snow? As the snow comes down and returns not thither, but waters the earth. We're here in springtime. Have you all enjoyed seeing the red buds, the dogwoods, and all the blooms? Oh, yeah. This is a perfect time to preach this verse. And maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now get this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now stop for a minute. How did Jesus defeat the devil when he was tempted? It is written. It is written. It is written. That was free right there. It shall not, excuse me, it shall not return unto me void, but it might occasionally. There is no stronger word than shall, but it shall. It shall. What you're holding, hold this up. If you've got one, just kind of hold your place there. We don't realize the miracle. You understand? These words originated in that realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yes. He has managed to get His thoughts,
yes,
and His words.
Yes.
What a miracle. You know what a miracle you're holding in your hand?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
This didn't originate on this planet.
That's right.
This is news from home. That's good right there. That's the title. News from home. You got to trust this more than you trust the bench you're sitting on.
Right.
This created the bench you're sitting on.
Yes.
By definition, the creator is greater than the createe.
Amen.
This is greater than anything tackling your body.
Yes.
I'm preaching good today. Glory to God. I'm preaching good. Give me up. Go for it, man. I'm bumping everything here. God's trying to get it down where even the natural man can understand. He goes, have you ever seen rain? Do you understand how the rain, does it work that way every year? Yeah. He's trying to get it down where the natural guy can get it, you know. Did it work last spring? Yeah. Rain came. Stuff grew. Year before that, rain came. Stuff grew. He says, my word is like that.
Yeah.
And it'll do it every time. And there's no doubting unless you just choose to. Because he's not doubting. And even to the spiritually dead man in the Old Testament, those that would believe him, the axe head floated. Impossible. Impossible. The cruse of oil never ran out. Even to those spiritually dead people, if they trusted his word, dipped seven times in the river. Remember the Naaman? Wasn't it Naaman? Dipped seven times in the river. He wasn't going to do it. And the little maid, the little housemaid says, you ought to do it. Goes and dips in the ripper. Goes and dips. See, dip and river combined is ripper. Dips in the river. Leprosy. Impossible in that day to do anything about it. My thoughts are higher. My ways are higher. My word shall accomplish that for which I sent it. And that's even to a spiritually dead man. Because the word is alive. Sharp. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's still alive today. I remember reading years ago they uncovered another one of those tombs in Egypt. Not exactly a pyramid, but one of the tombs of the kings. And in there, they found gold and silver and all this stuff they used to bury with the Pharaoh. And they found these jars that had been sealed that had wheat grain. And that seed had been in those jars, sealed away from the atmosphere for 3,000 years. And the question was, will it grow? So they planted some of it. Guess what? It grew. God's word is the imperishable seed. It is the imperishable word. It is the first level of our flow. It's the first, what do they call, contact. It's contact with Father. News from home. More real than anything you see. More real than your emotions. More real than the circumstances. More real than Tommy's disability. We have got to come where we trust his word. But let's go one step farther. See, in school, I don't talk like it, but I am educated. I went through four and a half years of university at Oklahoma State University. I actually have an engineering degree. But I noticed when I went to college, they gave me books, all right, but they didn't just give me books. They gave me a book. And a teacher. They got that idea from God. God gave us a book. But he also gave us a teacher. He gave us a teacher. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, I was looking for my Bible. I'm more there than I am here right now, I think. I know what happens to Dave now. 2 Corinthians won't work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God, I love this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now he's talking to spiritually alive people. He's talking to us, Genesis 1 people living in a Genesis 3 world. Let's pick it up in chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received. Now what he means by now, he means now that we're born again. Back up just to the first part of that chapter. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you. He's talking about the first time when he first came to evangelize. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, why would he do that? Because a spiritually dead man can't really understand the things of God. There is only one message for the spiritually dead man, and that's Christ and him crucified. You must be born again. You've got to have a spirit, and I understand it better now if Jim was still sitting here. You've got to have a spirit on the inside of you from that realm in order to be taught about that realm. The real you is not from earth. I'm going to say it how many ways? The real you is from where God lives. This is news from home, and the Holy Spirit is the teacher that's come to help you understand the news. So that's why he says here in verse 12, spitting and everything. Glory, I'm preaching good. Now we have received, now that you're born again, Now that you have God's life, now that you have become a literal, physical, spiritual child of God, now that there's a spirit in you from that realm, now we have received. Not the spirit of the world, that's the one you had when you was born of your mama. No. But the spirit which is of God. And look, they got it right, little s. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost. He's talking about that reborn spirit that was born in you the day you accepted Jesus. Now that you've got that, now we have the spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Bronk quoted the scripture earlier. How shall not he also with Christ freely give us all things? And he's not talking about the things I started with, you know, bigger cars and VCRs, and later it was hot rods and iPods. I mean, if you need stuff, he'll give you stuff. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the things from that realm. Getting Tommy out of the wheelchair. Getting the cancers healed. Having real revival. Showing a lost world what our Father's really like. So they could have at least a fighting chance to make heaven. Choose him instead of the world. Right now they don't know our religion, quote, religion, is any different from any other religion. It's our job to show them. Our God saves, our God heals, our God provides. He is the only one true and living God. But we're not going to get there by human effort. We're not going to get there. He showed me one time, you remember the Flatlander? The Flatlander? Where are my Flatlander left? Anyway, remember, we're like Flatlanders. We are. Well, I mean, that's the way we act. So oh, I love you, God. And I'm going to build things in Flatland for you. And I'm going to use flatland wisdom and flatland tools. But I don't understand why Tommy isn't healed. Well, we're not flatlanders. We're not really earthlanders. We're heavenlanders. Spiritlanders. I don't even want to use the word. See, ultimately, heaven's not really our ultimate home. God didn't make heaven for us. He made earth for us. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And probably we can go back and forth. Maybe other planets. I don't know. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to going there. And this thing here is not going to give me no trouble. I'm going to leave it behind with this world, okay? I'm get a new one in that world. Thank God for that. But we can get busy. I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll spend your whole life in flatland. Doing flatland stuff. And God's going, my ways are still higher in your ways. My thoughts are still... Why? Because you've never allowed my spirit to teach you about the news from home. Rise up, children. Rise up. I'm eager to hear that tongue interpretation myself. Wasn't he saying, rise up? Let my spirit... Something like that. Let my spirit teach you. God, I'm excited about where we're going. I am excited. I'm not burning out. I'm burning in. I feel like we're so close. We're right on the cusp of this. Because I do know this. I know my Father this well. He is not withholding it from us. He is doing everything He can. Pushing us, if you'll allow me. Gentle. Trying to nudge us over. But He's never going to violate our free will. I can choose to keep my idols if I want to. But this is the year we sell out to Him. Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.